I have heard it said on occasion, why should a good man like Jesus die on a cross? Besides, if he was God, could he not have escaped the cross? Well, the answer is God had a plan. In that plan, redemption has always required a blood sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was condemned to die on a cross. The only known human reason was the hatred and prejudice on the part of the people. In John chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, we read, "And he, that is Jesus Christ, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." It was the custom among the Romans to force the vilest criminals to carry their own crosses. Now you may wonder why John stated that Christ bore his cross, while Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that Simon the Cyrenian was the cross-bearer. This is not a contradiction. Both accounts should be combined. Doubtless from his weakened condition, as the result of the scourging and the nervous exhaustion, our Lord collapsed along the way under the weight and burden of the cross. As the result, the soldiers compelled Simon to complete the task. The exact location of Golgotha is not certain, although it was outside the city wall, as the words "went forth" suggest. Here was the fulfillment of a great Old Testament type, the sin offering, which on the Day of Atonement was carried without the camp, according to Leviticus 16:27. Christ became God's offering for sin to suffer and die outside the city of Jerusalem. Hebrews 13, verse 12 further substantiates this. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." The writer of Hebrews challenges the people of God, saying in Hebrews 13:13, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Here is a definite call to commitment to Christ and separation from the world. Even as our Lord was well-pleasing to the Father, so we who know him must follow him. That Christ was crucified between the two criminals suggests further the pent-up hatred of the people. Only the worst criminals were placed in the center. What humiliation and shame our Lord suffered. Notice verses 19 and 20. "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Now let's not think for a minute that Pilate was relenting in his attitude toward Christ. What he wrote and placed on the cross was in retaliation for what the Jews had done to him. They had forced him to crucify Christ against his will. Thus, to title Jesus the King of the Jews was a profound insult to them. The Jewish leaders were greatly incensed by Pilate's spite. They said, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." But the haughty ruler was not to be moved. "What I have written," he said. Verses 23 and 24. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat." Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." Crucifixion was a matter of course for these soldiers, who were insensible to the feelings and sufferings of others. The first act in this brutal method of murder was to strip the accused. Next, they laid him on his back on the cross, stretched out his arms on the crossbar, and hammered nails through his hands. Likewise, they drove a spike through his feet. The cross was placed in the ground, the sufferer left to hang and die. Usually, it would be several days before he expired. Consider the sensitivity of the nerves in the hands and feet. Think of the helplessness, hanging, waiting to die, all through the heat of the day and the cold of the night. One would think the soldiers could never get over such a sight, but it was nothing to them. The soldiers' greatest concern was to claim Christ's garments, which was the right of the executioner. The four soldiers divided his clothing among themselves until they came to the seamless coat for which they cast lots. Here again we see another remarkable fulfillment of prophecy. Ages before, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit in his great messianic psalm, Psalm 22, wrote, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." That's verse 18 of Psalm 22. The action of the soldiers must be added to the innumerable divine verities assuring us that the Bible is the Word of God. In contrast to the four soldiers, four women were standing by. Verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." How meaningful a mother's love is. Disregarding the danger that surrounded her, Mary stood near during the sorrowful ordeal. With her were holy women who were fearless and courageous in the hour of deepest need. While all but one of the disciples had forsaken Christ, the four dear women remained true. Verses 26 and 27, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." How sympathetic and understanding our Lord was. Even near death, he was concerned about others. Undoubtedly, the disciple who was standing by was the writer of this gospel, John. Doubtless Joseph was dead, so the Lord Jesus committed his mother to John to care for as though she were his mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Who could begin to enumerate the blessings that fell upon that household as the result of the willing obedience of God's servant to care for the mother of Jesus Christ? Verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst." This statement by our Lord is not given by the other three gospel writers. They do state, however, some things that John has not recorded. Putting them together, we get the complete story. Now, it is believed that a miraculous darkness covered the earth. Matthew wrote in the 27th chapter of his book, verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. It was during this time that the heart-rending cry was heard from the lips of our Lord," found in Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Toward the end of the ninth hour, the Lord Jesus said in verse 29, "I thirst," and John relates the response of the soldiers, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth." Our Lord had refused the first offer of vinegar and gall, which is often given to dying criminals to lessen the pain. In verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Redemption was completed. Christ had offered up himself as the eternal sacrifice for sin. The law was ended. No longer was man bound by the law unto righteousness. The old covenant was finished, and the new would begin. Having completed that which he came to do, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Literally, he dismissed his spirit of his own volition. Neither the Jews nor the Romans took his life from him. He gave it up of his own free will. that he might finish the work for which he was sent, to provide eternal redemption for all who would believe on him. Have you believed on him? I surely hope you have. Jesus Christ did this for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He did it all for you. Trust him as your Savior and Lord if you never have, right now. Blessed God, we pray that you'll open our hearts to the truth of the Scriptures. What we see in the Word of God is truth from the lips of God. We thank you for it, and we pray that many will turn to Christ today. I pray this for his glory, and in his name, amen.